Well, I think it's pretty impressive the number of you who have braved the cold in order to be here to celebrate. And I pray that you'll maintain that same steadfastness and courage because it sounds like it's going to be cold right through Christmas. So hopefully you'll be able to continue to brave the cold to be able to come and celebrate these tremendous days together. And today, as we're here in the fourth Sunday of Advent, the very final Sunday before we celebrate the Feast of Christmas, the message that we are being given is one of trust, trusting in God. There is also that sense of humility that's presented to us, especially in the second reading, when St. Paul describes himself here as a servant of God. The word that is used there, actually, we kind of tame it down. It's really a slave. Says St. Paul, I'm Paul, a slave of God, a slave of Christ Jesus. And here again, St. Paul recognizes the fact that it's in this very slavery that liberty is obtained. Because to be a slave of God is a way in which we achieve everything that God wants of us. Because it's God who's the one who is going to set us free from all that holds us captive, all that binds us. But when we look at the theme of trust, we have the contrasting figures of Ahaz in the first reading and Joseph in the gospel reading. Now, these two are of the same family line. Ahaz, if you go through the genealogy of Jesus, which happens just before today's gospel reading, you see that Ahaz is in that line that eventually comes down to Joseph and then to Jesus. So Joseph and Ahaz are of that same family connection. And both of them have decided on a particular course of action. And God reveals to them that the course of action on which they have decided is the wrong course of action. Ahaz refuses to change his mind. Joseph changes his mind. He is trusting in what God says. Now, we can sympathize with Ahaz because the kind of trust that God is calling forth from Ahaz is a very deep trust, and we know that we probably would fail if we were put to that same kind of test. Because what was going on here? Ahaz, of course, is the king, and there are foreign armies that are threatening invasion. And so Ahaz, in order to save his people, because as king, of course, he's got responsibility to protect the people, but he also has a lot of self-interest here, because if a foreign army comes and overtakes them, the king is the one who's going to have his head on the chopping block first. And so he recognizes that his own life is in danger. And so what he decides to do is to make an agreement with another nation to come and help them to fight against these nations that are threatening to invade. The problem is, when these military alliances were made in ancient times, that there were these covenants that were entered into which placed upon the people a certain obligation towards the gods of these foreign people. And God is telling them, don't do that. You're not to make alliances with other gods. You are to serve only the one true God. And so Isaiah comes to Ahaz and tells him that he needs to trust in God. And it's very interesting when you read that, because it says, first of all, that the Lord said to Ahaz. Well, how did the Lord say that to Ahaz? It was through the prophet Isaiah. When the prophet Isaiah is speaking to Ahaz, it's the Lord himself who is communicating this message to Ahaz. And Isaiah says, ask a sign of God. God knows that what he's asking of you is hard for you to trust. He knows that it's difficult for you. So ask a sign. It can be as high as the heavens or as deep as Sheol, but ask a sign of God, and he'll show you through this sign that he's there to protect you. But Ahaz is having none of it. because he's decided on a course of action, he wants to do things his way, and he's not willing to trust in God. So he continues on doing it his own way. That's Father Ray Guimot and I, years ago, used to joke around saying that the theme song of hell is Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way." You know, like the reality is that we're not supposed to do it my way. It's supposed to be God's way. Ahaz, again, what's being asked of him is hard. But God expects him to listen to the voice of the Lord and to follow it, to do what God has asked him to do. In the gospel reading, again, Joseph decides on a particular course of action. He decides to divorce Mary. And some people believe in what's called the suspicion theory, where Joseph was suspicious of Mary, that she was unfaithful to him. I hold to the reverence theory, that Joseph sees that there's something that is sacred that's going on here, and he doesn't know what his part is. He doesn't know if he's supposed to play a part in what's going on. The reason that I believe, well, one of the reasons that we find in today's gospel that I believe in the reverence theory is what the angel of the Lord says to Joseph. Because the angel of the Lord, when he appears to Joseph in a dream, is saying, "Don't be afraid." By the way, how many times do the words "do not be afraid" come up in the Bible? I found a little Bible quiz the other day, and it asked that question. How many times does it say "do not be afraid" in the Bible? And it's 365 times. So one for every day of the year. So 365 times it says "do not be afraid." But there's no indication that the angel is saying, "Don't be afraid of my appearance. Don't be afraid of what you..." But he says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Why would Joseph be afraid? Why would fear be it? Be the emotion that he has to overcome? It's only if he has a reverence. You know, we very often try to domesticate God. We try to empty God of the reality of his holiness and the awesome reality of who God is. You know, we think that we can just sort of be buddy buddies with God, and that God is awesome. Think about the book of Revelation, and when the apostle John encounters Jesus in his vision, what happens to John? John falls on his face as though dead, you know, when he comes into contact with Jesus. God is awesome. And it's an intimidating reality to come into the presence of God. And so this is why Joseph might be afraid. It's the same kind of reaction that we find with Peter when they have the miraculous catch of fish. When they have that miraculous catch of fish, what does Peter do? He falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "Lord, leave me, because I'm a sinful man." And so it's that kind of fear of doing something that is not proper, doing something that might be offensive to God. And this is why Joseph, again, makes his decision the way he does. You know, and sometimes when I'm reading that, you sort of think, okay, God, why do you send your angel there? Why don't you send your angel back here when Joseph is trying to make up his mind? Well, that's not the way God does things. You know, very often, God doesn't give us the whole roadmap right off the bat. This is sometimes what we want. We want God to lay it out all out for us ahead of time before we'll start moving. But God says, no, you have to start moving, and I'll steer you. You know, I'll get you going in the right direction, but you have to start moving. Even if the initial decision that you make is a wrong one, if you're open to me, I'll guide you to the right one. I'll guide you in the right way. And that's what he does with Joseph. For most of us, once we make up our mind to something, there's no turning back. Nobody can convince us of anything else. But Joseph is humble so that when he's made up his mind to do something, and then it's made very clear to him that that's not what God wants him to do, he changes his mind. Ahaz doesn't change his mind, Joseph does change his mind. And so it's that whole reality of trusting in God, doing what God has asked us to do. Now, there's so many different ways in which we can apply this to our own lives in terms of trusting in God. There's so many things that happen to us, even on a daily basis, where we need to trust in God. It might be health issues. It might be problems that we have at school or at work or whatever it happens to be. It could be our political situation. The number of times I've encountered people who are so upset at our political situation, and it really is bothering them. And so it's that whole thing of trusting in God. Can we trust in God even in the midst of the turmoil that we might find around us? But one of the areas, and this is one that's very important, but one that's also very difficult. And I think it's kind of, you know, the reason I bring it up right now is because right now we're coming to the end of one calendar year, and we know that just down the hall here near the office, the new collection envelopes are available. But that's the thing. What do we do with our material resources? You know, one of the motivations, or the main motivation for me in terms of giving to the church, giving to those who are less fortunate, one of the main motivations for me is that this is what God expects me to do. That's what God wants me to do. You know, there can be some particular needs, but it's that God asked me to trust in Him, not to trust in my bank account, but to trust in Him, that He will take care of me. And so to be able to give sacrificially is a very, very important part of our relationship with Almighty God, and yet one where we tend to resist God more than any other place. You know, with a number of the meetings I've been to over the years, it's kind of funny because we're talking about church things, church business, you know, the kind of ministries we're doing. As soon as it gets to money, all of a sudden everybody's really interested. Because I don't know, this whole thing about money, we tend to be very, very emotional and passionate about the whole area of money. But we see, as we look out of the doors of the church, that the development of the city is getting closer and closer, which means that it's very soon that we're going to have to complete our site here. And it's going to be expensive. It's going to be expensive to do that. But that's the thing. One of the areas of giving, one of the areas where we trust in God in this way, is by doing things that will give glory to God, to provide a place where God can truly be worshipped, where God can truly be adored. And we want to be able to provide that. I mean, I've been to all sorts of different places around the world, all sorts of different magnificent churches around the world. And I see these beautiful churches that were built by people who didn't have as much as we do. They didn't have nearly as much as we do. And yet, because of their trust in God, because of their faith in God, because of their love of God, they wanted to build something that would give glory to God. That was their motivation. They wanted to do something for the greater glory of God. And I think that it's important that we have that motivation as well. I want to point out, as you pick up your collection envelopes for next year, that every month there is an envelope for the building fund. That's for the site completion, so that we can complete everything that we didn't do 25 years ago when the church was being built the first, you know, initially. But we want to be able to do that. We've been waiting for the services to be able to arrive at the church. Once the services get here, the water and the sewer and everything like that, once they get here, then we're going to have to finish what we have started. And it's important that we have the resources to do that. But I think it's important that as we look at all of this, that it's part of our trust in God. Trusting in God is not easy. As we see in today's readings, that there's fear that is surrounding this call, both for Ahaz and for Joseph. There's fear that surrounds this call to trust. But it's important that we do trust. We do trust in God we do trust that God will take care of us, that we can't control everything in our own life, but we let go of this control, realizing that God will watch over us. So we pray for this greater trust, and especially as we are approaching the feast of Christmas, God coming into this world, we pray that we will always have a greater trust in God, so that as we trust in God, we will be able to receive the goal of that trust, which is grace in this life and life in the world to come. Let us now profess our faith in God. I believe in one